Yeah. Text this morning, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." You can be seated at this time. And I love this story of Jeremiah. I like this whole chapter. I like how God gives him revelation during his test and trial as he just has obedient faith to do what God has called him to do. We see, we're going to get into this, where God called him at a very young age to do this. And we're going to see how when God asks us to do something at times, how our human nature may kick in, but God always has a response to our human nature when we kind of have that hesitantness when God asks us to do something. And most of the time, all of us, when God asks us to do something, it's something that we kind of lock up and say, "God, I don't know about this." And he's like, I got a plan for you. I got this. I got you. I'm thankful that God has us, and he knows us. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our inadequacies, and he calculated all this stuff in from the very beginning. And he says, I still intend to use you anyways. My gift and calling are without repentance, and I'm thankful for that. We may not ever understand the complexity of DNA. Researchers are consistently finding qualities in science that point to a creator rather than random evolution. And an article on DNA repair by Frank Sherwin states that when DNA has been damaged by time, environment, carcinogens, or cytotoxic compounds, there are specific molecules and systems to repair the genetic damage. He goes on to say that these repair systems are God-designed. In conclusion, it is the very systems that repair DNA are the same changes evolution calls mutations that they say lead to new structures and functions. Before God scooped up the dirt and made Adam, his DNA was already planned and set. When God spoke of the complexity of science into existence, he wove the thread of truth into the network. As believers, it's amazing to see how scientific discoveries point to God. God has shown humanity his innate desire for us to know him, and he's created everything to draw our focus to him. When I say everything, when we talk about science, there's personal things in our life that will draw us to him. It could be a financial setback. It could be that unexpected thing that comes up in the mail. It could be that doctor visit where God will allow things to happen in our lives to reset our focus back to him. And I'm so thankful for that. We see it in science, but he also gets up close and personal with us to say, you know what, you're a little distracted. I'm thankful for that. You know, he sees us right where we are. He sees how busy we are at times and how life just happens to us. And he goes, I'm going to have to make a few adjustments in your life. I want to get your focus back on me. I want you to look up. I want you to trust me right where you are. And we all get that way. I get that way every once in a while if we all like to admit it. We confess it. If we think, you know, we got everything under control, we need to come to the altar a little bit later and pray through again. But as we see, this is teachers, police officers, and nurses in their own special way make a vital contribution to the overall prosperity and stability of a society. But there are things that unite these three vocations. There's some long hours, there's some high stress, and sometimes low pay depending on the location where they work. And these people take these different kinds of jobs will have something in common. They feel like they have a sense of calling to their vocation. And I can say this on a personal note, after about 22 years, I was working for the same company since 1997, in March of 1997. In January this year, I switched companies. And I felt like this was something I needed to do, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about the timing when to go talk to my employer, and I prayed about the timing when to make the move to work at the next place that I work at right now. And I felt like God was telling me to just take a step of faith. I'm going to be with you through every step of the process. And that's just a personal example. But God may ask you to do something that may take you out of your comfort zone. It's going to require a step of faith. But God will be with you every step of the way. He's got a personal relationship with every one of us. My situation is not the same as your situation. Maybe God is asking you to step out in faith on something in your life, and you're just going to have to trust him. And that is something that he desires from us. I just want you to trust me. I'm not going to tell you everything right now. I'm not going to show you everything right now. I see things from a different perspective. I just want to have this relationship with you for you to trust me. And what I have for you is way better than what you can think on your own, what you can do on your own, where you could go on your own. I'm so thankful for that. I've just seen this starting to unravel in my life over the past few years, where nothing makes sense at all, and all of a sudden, like, God, you had this plan all this time. I'm so excited. I can't hardly sleep at night. I even remember the last time I slept for 8 hours. I'm so excited what God is doing in my personal life lately. So, most of the people you encounter in an average day don't realize that God is trying to speak to them, and they're not familiar with his voice. But we as believers are familiar with his voice, and God designed every one of us, believers and non-believers, to have fellowship with him and to hear his voice on a daily basis. And it's evident here, and it's in Genesis 3, chapter or verse 8. It says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. From the very beginning, God desires a relationship with us. And it desires a walk and a talk with us. But there's a couple things that remove that walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. It was disobedience and their openness to hear a voice other than God. And we hear a lot of things throughout the week. We see things on billboards. We're getting a lot of traffic of what we hear between these ears. But it's the most important thing that we need to hear is the voice of God every day in our life. It was just this week. I think it was Friday night I came here. Do you ever have times where you just need to get alone with God and pray? And I had this, it was Friday night. I'm like, I just want to get and pray. I want to pray for what God is doing in church, in our church, and us as a church body. And I heard God begin to speak, and there was this bin with some paper and pens. I began to write some stuff down because I knew as I was praying that God was starting to speak back to me. And it's a two-way thing. I need to bring requests before God. I need to pray for things. But God, we need to stop and say, God, what is it that you want to say to me right now? I need to be attentive and just hear. We hear a lot of things throughout the day and throughout the week, but I want to hear the voice of God because he's not going to shout. He's not going to scream. It's just a still, small voice in the midst of chaos and uncertainty in our life and the world that we live in. And I want to be attentive to that. And God is calling every one of us to listen to what I have to say. I have plans for you. I have great things for you. Trust me, and I will walk you through them. I want to go to places I've never been to before. I want to do things that he wants me to do that I've never done before. It's going to take listening to him and to his voice to hear that direction from him every day. It may be just doing the same thing day after day, and you may wake up one morning and say, he may say, I want you to do this today. I want you to speak to this person. I have a word specific for this person. I want you to let them know that they are of great value to me. Somebody that may be lost and destitute and feel hopeless, maybe dealing with depression, maybe thinking about suicide. You never know what that may be. But to hear the voice of God, to be an instrument and a vessel for him to speak through. I want God to use me any way that he desires. Throughout Scripture, listening is used to describe the human posture of submission, worship, and obedience to him. This is no more obvious than in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, where Moses commanded the people of Israel to hear and to love the Lord. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want to hear his voice. I remember specifically when I heard the voice of God the day after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was just asked this recently about my personal standards. And I remember, I've been in construction my whole life, and I would wear these carpenter jean shorts every day up to the day that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I remember walking into my closet, and I went up to grab those shorts. Brother Callum's laughing at me. Maybe he had something similar. I mean, have I ever told you this before? But I went to grab these shorts out of the closet, and I heard God speak specifically to me and say, I don't want you wearing those. I don't have a judgmental bone in my body. If you wear them or don't wear them, that's your thing. But I heard the voice of God, and I literally, when I put my hand on him, he's like, not today. You're a new creature in Christ. I'll never forget that day that I came home on a Sunday morning, and I went and looked in the mirror. I'm like, man, he's exactly right, because I would look at my hands, I would look at my face, when I looked in the mirror, I'm like, who is that? But that's how God described we are a new creature in him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That was the first day of the rest of my life that I woke up and I started to walk the way he wanted me to walk and started to think the way he wanted me to think and started to talk the way he wanted me to talk. And I'm not who I was, and I'm not there yet to where he wants me to be, but it's a forward-moving progression. There's times he wants me to stand still, but he's saying, just keep your eyes on me. Look up and move forward, one foot in front of the other. It's important to hear his voice also. That was the first thing I heard after I received the Holy Ghost, literally within less than 24 hours. I remember coming in here and having something prepared to say as the service would open, give an exhortation or whatever it may be. I'd be praying about the night before, and worship would begin to break out. And I would hear God say, I have something else for you to share with the church. I remember this happening at Passing the Mantle a few years ago. Brother Woodward was preaching on a Friday night, and the worship, the Spirit of God was moving in a mighty way. And he looked up at the sound booth that was up in the balcony, and he said, whatever I gave you, just forget about it. He said, we're going to call this message tonight hodgepodge. But that's listening to the voice of God. You just as attentively listen to the voice of God when you prepared something like it would be a message to give to his people in a service. But to be sensitive to hear the voice of God when he says, I'm going to change things up. I'm going to move in a different direction. I remember one of the Lucas's boys, I don't remember which one that spoke here recently. He was in the second row, and he had a message prepared, and I knew it. But as soon as worship began to happen here, he sat down, and he got his pen and paper out, and God said, I got something else for you to share with the church. And that was just being attentive and hearing the voice of God. And that's something God always wants us to do. Jeremiah lived during a time of radical change in the religious and national life of Judah at the beginning of the Babylonian exile. He witnessed both the revival by King Josiah, but he also seen the downfall. He seen Jerusalem surrounded and the temple looted. He saw it going from revival to an oblivion. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet at essentially in the middle where these two things would take place. Jeremiah's ministry was to be the last divine word of warning before judgment finally fell. God called him before he was even born. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Jeremiah was called a prophet unto the nations, which was first predicated first on being known by God. He was first known by God from his very birth, when God formed him in the womb. God knows every one of us from when we were born. There is no mistake where we are today. It is no accident. God has ordered our steps, and I'm so thankful for that. I am first generation in this, and I'm so thankful that God ordered my steps, and he saw me, he saw my brokenness, and he directed my path where I'm here today. None of us are here by accident. This is no Big Bang theory in evolution. There is no Big Bang theory here in the spiritual realm. God ordained all of our steps, and we are here today for a reason. He brought us from the north and the south and from the east and the west. He planned this a long time ago. Barbie, you're here today. God ordained this a long time ago for you to be here, and I'm so glad that you're here today. God said if Jeremiah would faithfully fulfill his calling, God declared he would deliver a message that all the world would hear. But Jeremiah's response was the opposite of his predecessor, Isaiah, where Isaiah would say, here am I, Lord, send me. Jeremiah's response is similar to a lot of our responses when God asks us to do something. Lord, I am way too inadequate to do what you're about to ask me to do, what you have already planned for me. You knew this before I was born, but my human nature kicked in. His human nature kicked in when he was a child. He says, Lord, I'm a child. I can't do this. The thing is, it doesn't matter what your age is. Moses had that same problem at an elderly age. So every generation that is in here, whether they're downstairs or up there, or right here, human nature has the potential to just kick in. Exodus 4:10 says this, and Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord my God, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow of tongue. I've been in the presence of God when I experienced these two things. I've experienced where I've felt the Spirit of God grieved. I don't know if you ever felt that in a church service. And I felt the Spirit of God angered. I don't want to do anything that would cause his Spirit to be grieved out of my lack and desire of disobedience and to anger him. Those two things that I don't ever want to portray to him to cause him to get grieved or angered. Just be obedient. Just have obedient faith. Just step out in faith. Just put one foot in front of the other. If he's asking you to do something, he's asking you to not do it on your own ability. He's asking you to do it, and I will be with you every step of the way. God has designed and plans to do great things, and we are just human. We can't look in the mirror and say, God, you're going to do this with me. But with God, I can do all things. It's a looking up and looking forward mindset. Lord, forgive me of my human nature where it stepped in and try to put a wedge between what you want me to do and how inadequate I feel, Lord. I just want to be and do who you want me to be every day that I wake up. This is what God has been saying to me recently. Keep your focus on me and do what I want you to do. And being uncomfortable at times is a good way to get focused. God knows how to get our attention and how to get us focused when we lose our focus. He knows how to make things a little uncomfortable in our life to where we're not looking around, we're not distracted. We're like, oh boy, I didn't see this coming. To look, to listen, and to move forward is what he wants us all to do. To make wise decisions, to be a good steward of the time, the talent, and treasure that I give you. That's personally what I've been hearing from God lately. Don't waste time. Don't waste your talent. Don't waste anything that I've given you, because there's only so much time here left, and I want to make sure that it is not wasted. I want to be kingdom-minded. I want to see this world change. I want to see this world turn upside down. It was just Paul and Silas. There was just a couple of them. There was just a dozen men that says, you know what, I'm determined to do what God wants me to do underneath any circumstance, underneath any persecution, underneath any affliction that I might face or feel. I'm just going to do what he wants me to do. And I want to see our world turn upside down. I want to see the north, the south, the east, and the west. I want to see this place fuller than it's ever been. What God intends to do, and I'm praying also for laborers for the harvest. And I'm going to jump ahead here in my notes. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord for the harvest, that he will send laborers into his harvest. This is what I've been praying for lately, because I believe God wants to do such a work in this area that it's going to take more, way more than what we have right here. We've heard about it. It's been prophesied for many years. I'm believing in it, and I'm expecting it. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. There's some voids here, but he plans to fill every void that is in this place. And I'm anticipating it. I'm expecting it, because my expectation comes from him. It isn't predicated on my ability, what I'm able to do here to stand before you here today. But it is an expectation that says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. That's what I'm expecting here in this place. It could happen on a Wednesday night, a midweek service. It could happen where they could just trickle in during the week. I don't know when. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to trigger it, but I'm expecting it to happen. I'm expecting chairs to be put in the back. I'm expecting standing room only. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of what God is going to do in this place. Lord, may there be a spirit of unity in this place and an expectation in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may you bring more laborers into the harvest. This is your harvest. This is your time. We are your people called for such a time as this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's no time for any cookie cutter kind of programs here or kind of format. When you're in a spirit-filled environment and God begins to move in this place, it isn't necessary for us to just stay on the tracks. When that wind begins to blow, just put your sail up. Let God just do what he wants to do in this place. It could be in the Sunday school portion. It could be right in between in prayer. No matter when it may be, Lord, let your just spirit move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I'm bouncing around right now. I love this. This is in the, God told Jeremiah, I am with you. And in Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19, I have this in the NLT. I'm going to read it. It says, get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them. For see, today I have made you strong like a fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar or a bronze wall. You will stand against the whole land, the kings, the officials, the priests, and the people of Judah. God will strengthen you. He will able you. He will make you strong in front of your enemies. God is going to put us in the path of people that are hungry for him, people that are broken, that he intends to pick up those pieces and bring them into a place of rest, bringing them into a house where he wants to see them nurtured, restored. Man, I'm excited about all this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our divine calling is founded and rooted in our relationship with him. We can't get away from that. It's first our relationship. It's not what we can do for him. It's our relationship with him, and then it's what he desires to do in us and through us. But we have to choose this. He is not going to make anybody do what we don't want to do. But it's his desire for us to choose to do what he asks us to do. And if we choose to follow and obey God's calling, we'll have an assurance that our life's work will not be wasted, but will have a lasting impact beyond our wildest imaginations. God wants to blow our minds. If you haven't had your mind blown in a while, ask God, is there something that I haven't been doing? Because I want to do it. I want to fulfill it. I want to do what you have me to do, Lord, because it's been a while since I've seen my mind blown, and I want God to blow my mind. When I go to church, how about at home? How about in the workplace? Lord, I want to see my mind blown in the workplace. Jeremiah's calling challenges us that we won't always and automatically like to do everything he has called us to do. The truth is, the call of God leads us down paths we would rather not always want to take. Paul chose the words living sacrifice. And pursuing God's calling in our life will always entail giving up something else that we could have done. But I believe what he has for us is greater than what we could ever plan out and set on a course to do on our own. It is so much greater, it's so much rewarding. The payoff is so much better. I like this from Max Weber. He's a sociologist that termed the Protestant work ethic, the belief that one's everyday work was a key component of one's worship to God. God receives just as much glory from an honest day's labor on a farm as from a beautiful sermon delivered behind a pulpit. Martin Luther would say this, the idea that service to God should have only to do with a church altar, singing, reading, sacrifice, and the like is without doubt the worst trick of the devil. How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrow conception that the service to God takes place only in church and not by works done therein? The whole world could abound with services to the Lord, not only in churches, but also in our home and in the field and in the workplace. So you're occupation is your mission field. Your community that you live in, your surrounding community where you have neighbors front and behind you, that's your mission field. That's where God called you to be at this specific time, to be that light, that city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. I remember somebody that spoke into my life that I never met before. He came to my house one day many years ago, and he said, when I pulled up down the street, I saw this big dome kind of over your house. It's like a light. It's attractive. It's attractive to your neighbors. Every home that you live in and that you reside in is a lighthouse for somebody that lives around you. There you are a sense of hope to somebody. You are attractive. There's something that is attracting them to you, and you are pointing them to him. By the way you look, by the way you live, by the way you act. There's value in faithfulness. In Luke 12, 42 and 43 says, who then is that faithful and wise steward who his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant in whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I want to be doing. I want to hear those two words, well done. That means I need to be faithful in every season of my life. I need to be faithful when things are going good and when it's storming out. When it's in monsoon season, I don't have a umbrella to put over my head. I need to be faithful. When everything is going for me or when everything is coming against me, to be faithful. Because God speaks in those storms, just like he speaks in the calmness and in the middle of the day on a nice summer day. The advice that I could give a person who feels like his or her career is not their ultimate calling, I like this quote by Lee Stone King. He says, everyone you meet today is on God's most wanted list. I can say this personal testimony. I remember a man named Salvador. He's actually been in this church at one time when we had a Spanish work. I remember giving him a Bible study at work on a lunch break. I remember seeing him baptized at the church in Joliet. But it was 9 months later, after I didn't see him, that I saw his two brothers come to the job site and said he passed away just a few weeks before. You can't tell me that the place where you're working at is not a mission field. I want to think different. I want to pray different. I want to look at other people differently. I want to look at them through his eyes. I want to look at them with his heart. Just ordinary prayers aren't going to cut it. Effectual, fervent prayer. That's effective. Sometimes we can pray and for 5 minutes and feel like, man, nothing happened. And nothing will happen unless we break through some barriers in our prayer life. I need to break through some strongholds. I need to get, God, where is your heart, Lord? Does my heart need to be cut again? Does it need to be open again? I don't want to waste another moment or opportunity or pass by that person because I don't know how much time they have left to live. Jeremiah was a warning shot to God's people. May my heart be tender. God, is this your warning shot? Is this your last shot? I don't know what political climate we're going to be in a couple years from now. I'm going to close with this, if we could stand. Every time I leave my house, I'm going to my mission field that God has called me, ready to give an answer to the hope that I have in me. Every day is an opportunity and an adventure. Look at it as an adventure. Look at it as something exciting. God does not want you to just go through the motions and live in a mundane life. He came to give us a more abundant life. That abundant life, he desires it to be contagious in our life. He wants it to spread. He wants it to overflow. I want there to be an overflow to people say, I want what you have. I want my neighbors to come into this house. I want my coworkers to come into this house. I want to give home Bible studies to where people pray through. They may be hesitant to come into a church, but man, if I could welcome them into my house, I've heard this recently, that people are getting the Holy Ghost in cell groups, in people's homes. If God could do it in somebody else's home, he could do it in my home. I look forward to it, and I encourage you to look forward to it every time you walk out of your door of your house, to be the salt and the light that this world needs. Let that be our desire. God is calling every one of us to be salt and light, to be that city set upon the hill. Lord, if you're going to use anybody, use me, Lord. Hallelujah. For such a time as this, in this church, but also outside, Lord, you want to do so much more than what's inside these four walls. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, you want to reach my neighbors, Lord. You want to reach those people I pass by in the store. You want to reach my co-workers in Jesus' name. Lord, may I have a heart, Lord, that you would have me to have for them in Jesus' name, Lord. And not just pray meaningless, mundane prayers, but effectual, fervent prayers. Lord, where it gets to you, Lord, and it gets your heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah.